If you're someone who likes to read a good adventure story, a good true adventure story, then you're going to love my conversation with Christine Reed today. Christine is an author. She's a hiker. She's done all sorts of adventures. She lives in her van, all the things. And she is going to be talking at our upcoming summit, the Hike Like a Woman Summit, all about how to write your story and share your story. And I'm really excited to have her present at the summit. And I'm really excited for this conversation that I had with her recently, where she talks about hiking, she talks about van life, she talks about kind of exploring some of those deeper feelings that we experience on the trail. And then she gives a little teaser about her upcoming new book. So I'll let you check out my interview with her. And if you want to learn more about our summit, head on over to our website, hikelikeawoman.com. There you can find information about tickets, our schedule, and all of our amazing presenters. So head over to hikelikewoman.com and check it out. But for now, enjoy my conversation with Christine. Let's talk about your book.
Yeah.
So Adventures in Wonderland. How did you, what was the, is impetus the right word? What was the spark that made you realize that you needed to share your message with the world?
Yeah. So the book is called Alone in Wonderland, and the theme is really about loneliness and independence. And it takes place on the Wonderland Trail. So I got a little like Alice in Wonderland play in words there. But I really, when I hiked the Wonderland Trail, which was the fall of 2018, I had recently moved into my first van and I was on the road and I was just really struggling to find community and to find a partner. And I really felt super alone out there. And I actually got on the Wonderland Trail because I had experienced the trail like through hiking community on a long section hike of the Appalachian Trail a few years before. And I thought, man, if I could just get back on trail, I'm sure I'd meet some cool people and like have that community experience. And so I went on trail sort of looking for connection and for people. And in I think a common form of self-sabotage, I was also trying to be this strong, independent woman out there by myself. I don't need anybody kind of attitude. And really, the book tells the story of my sort of slow realization that like you can't have both of those things, right? You can't constantly be needing to prove how much you don't need people and also building community at the same time. So I sort of through that journey talked to a lot of other hikers and I just sort of started asking people like, are you lonely out here? And what's your experience of independence? And like, are you finding what you're looking for? And just asking the kind of questions that I think I would have been embarrassed to answer at that time because we so shame loneliness, that it made me realize talking about it with other people was really helpful. And I thought, you know what? I wish someone had written their story of this experience because that would have really helped me through it. And so I thought, I guess I will write that so other people can read it.
Yeah. I love the concept. I haven't read your book yet, but I love the concept of alone because often I feel more alone when I'm surrounded by people who don't have similar values and goals and a lifestyle as me. Often I feel alone around people and I feel less alone when I'm alone in nature. Does
Yeah.
that make me a weirdo?
I don't think so. I
Yeah.
think this it's one of those subjects that I think one, there's just infinite things that we could say on it about our relationship with aloneness and independence. And I think it's also one of those things that we really grow and fluctuate through over time. Like we sometimes we are seeking and craving that true alone time and the solitude, and like we're able to learn and grow so much in that experience. And sometimes we like take that too far and like we're like, no, I should be strong and alone and independent and I shouldn't need other people here to entertain me or whatever. And so like we find strength in that experience and then we're like, that was good. Let me do more, 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 more to the point where it's like, wait, maybe I've gone beyond the realm of growth in this.
Yeah, there's extreme ends on either side. It's just a balance. How did you become comfortable with like hiking solo, being alone, you live in a van, like how have you felt comfortable with with that concept?
I think it takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of becoming comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think an attitude of growth is really helpful for that. Like just knowing like, oh, this experience might be hard in the moment, but like, I'm going to get something out of it. I will say I had like a few cheat codes along the way. Like I did a 10-day Vipassana sit in 2015. And if you don't know what that is, it's like a silent meditation retreat where you don't talk to anyone for 10 days.
For 10 days. Oh my goodness. That'd be so hard.
It was so hard. It was also so transformative.
Really?
Yeah, it really changed me. And in such a positive way. And it's one of those things like, once you've done that, you can kind of always, I call it keeping it in your back pocket. Like you can always pull it out and be like, well, I did do that. So whatever I'm facing right now, like is not as hard as that. Right. In my hiking career, I kind of like Mount Whitney is the thing that I keep in my back pocket. Like I hiked that mountain when I was not experienced, not in shape, did not know what I was doing, put myself in a really bad situation. But I made it. And so when I'm hiking and things are hard, I'm like, well, I hiked Mount Whitney back when I was a total bozo who didn't know what they were doing, you know? And when I find myself uncomfortable in more like emotional, mental ways, I'm like, well, I did do that 10 days of not talking to anybody and meditating and being alone with my thoughts. So this, I'll get through this, you know?
What a great perspective to have, to learn from those difficult experiences or and use them to like to draw back on. I love that back pocket concept. In your book, there's a quote that I really love. You write, "I have made it successfully from the beginning to somewhere else." Tell us about this moment that inspired you to write that.
I'm fairly certain that was on the first day, like not even 5 miles from the trailhead. but I had started the Wonderland Trail. The Wonderland Trail is just under 100 miles. So I still had quite a way to go.
Yeah.
But it was kind of the first landmark. Like I started the trail. I went downhill for 4 miles, I think, and got to the river. And it was the first thing sort of on the map that I had that was like, you're going to hit this river. And I had such a sense of accomplishment, I think partly because I had not backpacked in quite a while. Mm-hmm. And I definitely went out with some sense of like, I'm not really sure if I'm still going to be able to do this. And like, what am I trying to get out of it? I had a lot of questions going in. I think when you are starting something big, like the starting is often the hardest part. It's like the finishing, by the time you finish, you're like, I've been doing this for 10 days, whatever, no big deal.
Yeah.
But it's the getting out there and the putting one foot in front of the other and like making the first move that I think is often the biggest obstacle. So I think celebrating that first moment of like, okay, I've started, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm now in it. I'm not going to turn around at this point. It's funny. My writing group is writing this month on the theme of celebration. And when I saw that question, I was like, oh, this is so appropriate for like what I've been thinking about the last few days about what we should celebrate or what we should allow ourselves to celebrate.
How do you have a huge following of humans of all shapes, sizes, all the things who follow you and follow your adventures. And how do you encourage your community to take that first step if they're feeling a little bit scared or nervous or like they don't belong on the trails or like they don't look like everybody else? How do you motivate that? Well, and that motivates the wrong word, but how do you encourage?
Yeah, I really hate to be like the kind of blasé about people's fears and the things that are holding us back because those things are so real in our experiences. But a lot of times I feel like the advice that I give people is just like, just go, right? And that can be the key for some people. Some people just need someone else to tell them they can do it and like give them permission.
Yeah.
Especially when you're new to getting outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times I really just want to tell people like, if I can do it, you can do it. Like I'm nobody special. I wasn't an athlete before I got into hiking. I was actually incredibly sedentary. I was a heavy drinker. I smoked cigarettes for 8 years before I started hiking. You know what I mean? Like, I was doing all the things that are taking you down a different path. And I just decided one day, like, I found a blog about the Appalachian Trail and I was like, I'm going to go do that. And no one in my life understood what I was trying to do. Nobody thought I could do it. I had a lot of people like, what, you can't even hike, you know, like I'd gone on like casual hikes with friends and been the person who like can't keep up, is dying, sweating profusely, crying.
We've all been that person.
I was that person 100%. So when I told people I'm going to go hike the Appalachian Trail, they were like, you? Like, no, why? You think you can do that? And then it became a point of defiance where I was like, oh, all these people think I can't do it. Now I have to.
Right. Something to prove.
But I think just making the decision that you're going to do it is, that's like going to put you on that path. So when people ask me, like, I've always wanted to do this, I just tell them, do it, go do it, and tell everyone, you know, and take whatever response they give you as more encouragement to do it.
I love that you said, tell everyone, you know, because sometimes we just need to know that somebody else is doing it. And sometimes it's easy to keep that to ourselves and be like, oh, if anybody knew I was working on this, they would just judge me or
see me fail. Yeah. And I think that we fear that almost as much as we fear our own failure. We fear people seeing us fail, but it's the fear of showing our failure that like turns back on us, because if we never see anyone else fail, we become more and more afraid to fail. But if we all go out there and fail in front of each other, then that gives everyone permission to like try new things.
Yeah. I love, I'm a huge fan of Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. I don't even wear Spanx, but she's just so down to earth for a billionaire, I guess. But she says that when she was growing up, her dad every night at dinner would ask her and her brother, what did you fail at today? And so it changed this whole shift in her when she realized that failure should be celebrated because you tried. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like we fear failure so much, instead of saying, I tried that, it didn't work, but I learned a lot. And it was great because I failed. Now I'm going to do it better.
Absolutely.
Next time.
Yeah. And in the writing world, I wish I could remember who I heard this from, but there's this idea about collecting rejections. And so it's about like, submit your work widely, submit to things that don't even make sense for you to be participating in, and just like stack those rejection letters. One, because it toughens you up, which you need in the writing world. But two, it also just, it takes away a little bit of that fear and hesitation. If it's just like, I'm just going to go, I'm just going to send it and see what happens.
A lot of courage. Tell me about, you're so adventurous. Every time I look on your Instagram, you're on a different trail or doing something outdoorsy or driving somewhere. Tell me about your lifestyle. You live in your van, you travel around, you hike, you write.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm on my third van. I've been living on the road off and on since 2018. Mm-hmm. I did have a home base hub in Denver for a few years, but I don't anymore. So I'm back full time on the road. I actually live in a really tiny minivan right now. So I try to spend as much time not in that as I can.
Yeah.
But I just hiked the Ouachita Trail in Arkansas. I went to college in Arkansas, so I have a little bit of like roots there.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful and amazing. And it's a trail a lot of people don't know about. Like I was telling you before, I'm on my way to Southern California to work at a hot springs for this, the winter season. Uh-huh. And then next summer I'll actually be back on book tour, 'cause I have a new book launching. Yay. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about it?
Can you tell us about your next book?
Yeah. So it's actually a short story collection put together by women and other AFAB folks about the experience of being in a female body on trail. So it's called Blood, Sweat, Tears. And the book's going to be split into three categories. So there will be stories about blood. So it's going to be all period stories. Sweat, which is going to be sort of the battles that we fight with our own bodies.
Uh-huh.
And tears, which will be more of the like emotional side, but they're all going to be trail-based stories. So it's going to be hiking, backpacking, trail running. And I think I have one mountaineering story in there.
What an interesting, I mean, we hear the phrase blood, sweat, and tears all the time, but what an interesting way to actually break it down by those stories.
Yeah. So the inspiration was definitely that I wanted to create a book of period stories because, and this will be great for the Hike Like a Woman Summit, is like every time that I've given talks and participated in women's only outdoor spaces, everyone wants to talk about their period. And it's always, how do I handle my period? Yeah. What tips and tricks do you have? It's definitely a barrier that I think a lot of women are very hesitant to go do a long hike mm-hmm. because they're like, what if I start my period? Yeah. Or they will schedule things around their period. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, at best an inconvenience and at worst, like totally a horrible experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a long time when I was given those questions, because that's not what my book is about and it's not what my story that I've been promoting and talking about is about, you know, when people would ask those questions, a lot of times I would minimize or kind of brush mm-hmm. them off a little bit, like, mm-hmm. oh, it's just your period, except you're outside. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And I just really got to thinking about it in the last year or so and realizing, like, I am part of the problem by minimizing this experience and not talking about it.
Oh.
So I was like, you know what? We want to tell these stories. People want to hear these stories.
Yeah.
Like, let me be the person to create that platform and put those stories out there. And let's talk about our periods loudly and in public.
Wow. I can't wait. I can't wait to read it. Yeah, periods and pooping. Those are the two things.
There's a little bit of pooping in there too.
I mean, you can't really talk about
it. It's snuck in.
yeah. It's kind of like it's what we do. Oh, so cool. Will you keep us posted about the book and the book launch and
absolutely
talk about it? Okay.
Yeah. So we're in the editing phase right now. At the very latest, it will be launching before Trail Days in May, which will actually be right around the same time as your event, because those are back to back. So it should be available and live and able to be ordered by the time we're doing the summit. Yeah.
Oh, so interesting. I'm interesting to see what the response is. I bet it's going to blow up. I bet it's going to be huge.
I'm really excited. And the response so I put out publicly for submissions for the stories, because I was like, I just want people to submit their stories. Yeah. And I was really hoping to get 100 stories. Mm-hmm. The submission period was five or six weeks. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with 180. So I got a huge response for people wanting to tell their story, which I was so excited about. And I'm hoping that that is a reflection of the huge response to like people wanting to read these stories.
Absolutely. You're going to have to publish 2 books. That's enough for 2, 3, 4 books.
That's what a bunch of people said. Like, there's going to be a second edition, right? And I've already thought, you know, the Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Yeah.
And there's like, I Googled how many Chicken Soup for the Soul books are there. And there's like 400 of them. And they're still publishing them. Like, those have been coming out since like the 70s. They're still making new ones. And I was like, okay, Blood, Sweat, and Tears is the next Chicken Soup for the Soul. So I'll have to come up with like different themes and stuff for them. Yeah, but I definitely think it's something that people are interested enough in that more than one book might be appropriate.
So cool. And you talked a little bit about the book launch, Trail Days, the summit. That kind of leads us into our next question, which is, can you give us a little sneak peek about what you're going to be talking about at our summit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the talk is called Write Your Adventure. And it's about how to get started writing about your whatever it is you want to write about. So since this is all hiking themed, I'm going to guess most people will want to write about their hikes. But we're going to do a little bit of a kind of top level sort of questions you should ask yourself about like why you want to write the story, who's going to read this story, what is the right format for your story? Because I think a lot of people think I need to write a book. But there's a bunch of different things you can do. And from everything from like an essay to a short story submitted for a collection. And like, how do you get that out there? You know, there's so many things to consider when you think I want to share my story. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll go into a little bit more of like how to write a scene from memory. And we'll do like a bit of a writing exercise. So there'll be a little bit of time for people to like write. So everybody should bring paper and a pen.
Paper and a pen.
Yeah.
Easy. That's important.
Yeah. Or you can do it on your phone if you're do notes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend writing that way, but for this workshop purposes, it could work.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious, I imagine that as you're hiking, you're writing, and do you bring a journal with you? Do you voice notes on your phone, or do you just recall it after the event?
I have tried a few different things. So when I hiked the Wonderland Trail, I wasn't planning to write a book until the end. So I had not taken any notes.
Yeah.
And on the last day when I thought, I think I'm going to write about this, I got out the map that I had been given at the visitor center. Yes. And I just wrote in the corner of it sort of like day one and then like who I met and just like a few notes. That trail was only 11 days. So I then got off the trail and I went and I started writing immediately. Mm-hmm. So I was doing it by recall, but it was like recent recall.
Yeah.
When I hiked the Colorado Trail in 2021, I thought I was going to write a book about it. And so I took a notebook and I wrote some notes every day of stuff that happened. I found that to be really stressful. And it kind of took away from my trail experience because I was thinking a lot about what I wanted to write and not a lot about the experience I was having. It kind of took me out of it. So, I thought that I lost the notebook like 25 days into trail and I'd like been writing in it every day and then I couldn't find it. And you might ask, like, how do you lose something when you're living out of a backpack? But it had slipped down into the water bladder pocket in the back of my backpack. Okay. And so I couldn't find it for like 3 or 4 days. And I was like, and I was really upset about it. And I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? So that like also really impacted my experience. And so after that, I was like, I don't think I'm going to take notes on trail anymore. So now I take a lot of photos. And so then I can refer back to those when I want to write about what happened. I just do it from memory. And I think if you're really living the experience and being super present when you're doing something, your memories will be pretty strong. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll keep it. You'll keep it, retain it. Especially if you're having really profound experiences, which I think most of us have when we're alone on a trail. Yeah.
Totally.
Christine, you're so awesome. Where can we find you online? Where can we learn more about your books and all the things that you're doing?
Yeah. So my website is ruggedoutdoorswoman.com. Okay. And I have my book available there. You can pre-order Blood, Sweat, Tears. I have like some snazzy t-shirts and stickers and things. And then, I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Rugged Outdoors Woman also. So easy to remember. On all platforms. And I'm super accessible. So if you want to talk to me, like DM me on Instagram, that's definitely the number one place to get a hold of me. But I also have like a contact box on my website if you want to do email. And I'm like happy to chat about hiking, happy to chat about writing, just like wherever you're at. And I run a writer's group for women and gender expansive folks who write about the outdoors. So if that's something you're interested in.
I think we all have a story in us. And I loved talking with Christine because it inspired me. So I'm excited for her presentation at our summit. And if you want to learn more about our summit, head on over to our website, hikelikewoman.com, click that little summit tab, and there you can find all the information about how to get tickets, what our scheduled events is going to be, and who our speakers are. So thanks so much, and I'll catch you next time.